Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Episode 30 features principal harpist of the Lyric Opera in Chicago and founding member of the Chicago Harp Quartet, Lynn Williams. There are so many things about Lynn to admire, and her article in the November-December 2017 issue of Harp Column titled Trial by Fire Music gives us just a small peek into the crazy world of a full-time opera harpist. This is Lynn's third visit to our podcast, and she's been a longtime contributor to Harp Column. So I asked her, what sets this article apart, and why did she decide to write on this topic?
This was the most fun little article that I've written yet because it was just like, oh my gosh, what crazy story can I tell? It's kind of a funny thing. A lot of people don't have any insight into like how different the world is in the pit versus on the stage. And it is a totally different beast.
How many seasons have you been playing with Lyric now?
This is my seventh season with the Lyric Opera, which is both short and long when you think about it in the grand scheme of a career, but also how much repertoire I've played. I feel like I have just dabbled at the surface there. There's a lot left to be covered for me.
What shows did you play in your first season?
At the start of my tenure with the Lyric Opera of Chicago, I got to cover some major repertoire, and a couple highlights were, of course, Donizetti's Lucia de Lammermoor, a couple Strausses, including Ariadne of Phnoxus and Electra. Of course, there was a bunch of Puccini, Bohème, Madame Butterfly, Tosca Turandot, the Wagners. My first Wagner ever was Der Meistersinger von Nürnberg, and then the second one was Tannhäuser. So that was huge, the beginning of my career. I got to play Rosalka, which was the first time the company had ever produced it. Rosalka, I think amongst opera harpists, is definitely the opera harp concerto. And then in the contemporary realm, we did Weinberg's The Passenger, which was an opera that hadn't been performed in the U.S. ever until Houston did it a couple years ago, and then we were the second company, and then Berg's Vasek. So really heavy-hitting operas at the beginning of my career, which was awesome. It was a great challenge.
You said in your article that most of the time you're doing one rehearsal in the morning and then a concert in the evening, but you're also preparing another show at the same time. So how long is the season that you're talking about here?
Our orchestra has a 24-week contract that includes all of the rehearsals and performances. Within that, it ranges each season 60 to 70 performances within those 24 weeks. And of course, yes, we're always in a different place in the production. So for example, this week we had rehearsals for Turandot and for Pearl Fishers. And then there was a Die Valkyrie performance. And then we went back to Pearl Fishers and it's all mixed up. So it's just constantly something happening, of course. And then, you know, we are practicing on our own the next opera coming up. So it's a lot of repertoire if you think about how many hours each one of those operas covers.
I mean, the idea of keeping that much repertoire under your hands all at the same time is insane to me. I guess it's something that, you know, it's your job, it's what you do every day, so, you know, it's not a big deal. But, I mean, it is a big deal. But how do you keep all of that music learned and fresh all at the same time?
That becomes part of the problem in the opera industry where we perform in repertoire. So once an opera opens, it just has performances very spread out and we go on to preparing the next thing. So it becomes our problem to keep it fresh and in our fingers for the next performance. And that could be a week away. So I do the majority of my preparation over the summer months when I have a lot of time to do lots of listening and score study and do all the nitty-gritty learning of the notes. And then it's just maintenance during the season and learning how the interpretation is going to go with the conductor and the singers. And then you just get that in your ear and it just becomes something familiar to you.
One of the things that I really thought was interesting in your article was the fact that you talked about your self-care. How long did it take you to get to the point where you were able to have a rehearsal in the morning, play a show in the evening, do that maybe a couple times a week, and not be just totally drained physically, emotionally, everything?
It's really important to consider the balance of your mental and physical state with this job. And it did take me a while to figure that out because I came into the job having professionally freelanced for a couple of years. And as a freelancer, you accept work if it fits in your calendar and it's something you want to do, you accept work. You don't consider, how am I going to feel about playing that gig very much when you need to pay your bills? But the luxury of having a full-time job is I am handed a calendar, here's your job. And it doesn't necessarily take up all the hours of the day in the week. So being freelancer mentality, I started plugging extra things in at the beginning of my tenure, which was a wrong decision on my part because you do get absolutely exhausted playing one rehearsal, running home to feed the dog, getting in your car, racing back to work to tune the harp an hour and a half before the show, and then playing a show until 11 o'clock at night. So it did take me a little bit of time, I would say probably 3 or 4 months before I realized you need to say no to absolutely everything until you have this job under your belt and you know how this is going to work and you know when you can actually add to it because it's a delicate balance. With the long haul operas, you know, like Tannhäuser or some of the Ring cycle operas, the stamina required is something to behold. And I kind of had to learn this quickly in my tenure as well. Sleeping well, of course, would be great, but if not, taking a nap that day. But my favorite ritual is I actually have a high protein dinner of sashimi before Wagner operas, which happens to be some of my favorite food. And then in the first intermission, have something like veggies and fruit. And in the second intermission, if I make it that far, I get some dark chocolate and some tea to push me to the end. And then, of course, throughout the night, you really have to think about hydrating yourself, but carefully, so that you know that, okay, if I'm going to be in the pit for this 2.5 hour, one singular act of the opera, can I make it if I drink a gallon of water before I start this opera? So it's really something that you learn in the pits, but all of us in the orchestra have our own rituals that we do like that.
So what's your favorite show that you've played thus far?
My favorite show to play thus far in my career was Tannhäuser. This is because the part is such an enormous challenge. As harpists preparing for auditions, a lot of times we're familiar with the first act solo, but that is actually not the hardest or longest part of the opera that you have to play. The second act is, again, sort of like a harp concerto in the singing competition where you get to accompany all the different singers on stage. The Met has a fabulous production where they all have harps on stage with them and they pretend they're playing, and of course you're down sweating bullets in the pit playing all this stuff, and each singer of course has a different style and a different speed, and you know, depending on the night, it can be very exciting to try to stay with the singers, and I really like that. Keeps me on my toes, and it definitely feels like one of those whirly carnival rides that you have to just kind of hold your breath, and at the end it's exhilarating fun, but you don't know if you're gonna make it, kind of thing.
It sounds terrifying. So, Tannhäuser. I studied the opera in school, but I don't know the score well. So, after talking to Lynn, I decided to sit down and listen to a full recording. At one point in the first act, I had to go back and check the instrumentation to reassure myself that there wasn't more than one harp playing. I wanted to give you just a taste of what some of this music sounds like. So, forgive me a small musical indulgence. And please enjoy a brief clip from the Metropolitan Opera's recording from Act 2 of Tannhäuser by Richard Wagner.
Der Brunnen, den uns Wolfram nannte, ihn schaut auch meines Geistes lieb. Doch der ihn Durst für ihn entbrannte, du, Heinrich, kennst ihn wahrlich nicht.
You're listening to Harp Column Podcast, episode number 30. You can read more harp news, feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolumnmusic.com, where you can download PDFs of some of the best new arrangements and compositions for solo, ensemble, and chamber harp. Beyond being a kick-butt harpist, new mama, and harp teacher extraordinaire, Lynn is also an accomplished arranger for harp ensemble and harp quartet. I wanted to learn more about Lynn's arrangements and ask her when she first began arranging.
Well, this started back at Eastman. We had to do a self-taught piece, and I chose a Chopin piano solo that I wanted to transcribe for harp. So I learned Sibelius, and then I started arranging other things and began in 2004 officially doing harp ensemble arrangements that began as student-level arrangements. And of course, when the harp quartet came into being, we needed repertoire. So I just said, I'm going to arrange stuff for us. And I just kind of picked out what we wanted to play in concert and just tailor-made these arrangements for the quartet. Now it's a little bit different. There's a lot of repertoire out there, a lot of proper composers writing for the quartet, for quartets around the world. And so now I just do what is fun and appealing to myself. And I'm doing a little bit less of it now just because I'm a little busy with the job and the baby and everything. And my next release that'll be in the spring is a suite from Carmen for harp quartet, which is going to be fiery dance movements, including percussion played by the harpists. So that I'm excited to premiere with the Chicago Harp Quartet in April.
Awesome. Super cool. I'm excited to see that. Can you tell me a little bit about your process for arranging?
Yes. So the process for arranging a piece for harp ensemble or harp quartet specifically starts with just being inspired. I listen to music constantly and find something that just piques my interest, and I just kind of hear it in my head how it will sound in the harp quartet. Then, of course, I start studying scores. If it's a solo work for harp, I'll go to that score. If it's a solo harp arrangement of an orchestral score, I'll go to the original orchestral score. I love to pull out the colors of the orchestra when possible. Like in my Liszt arrangement, there were so many colors you could take from the orchestral arrangement instead of just the piano version. And then I input hours and hours and hours of notes into the computer, which somehow is a fun game to me. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. And then I just play the music over and over and over. And because I can sit down at the harp and play all four parts and make it feel good in the hands, I think that that is really valuable in the arranging process. And edit it up and give it to my quartet partners and hope that it goes well.
Awesome. And do your quartet members ever collaborate on these with you, give you opinions about the arrangements at all?
We haven't done a lot of that. Usually in the rehearsal where we read a new piece, it will be very obvious instantly if there's a problem. And I'll run over to their stand and make a change, and they do it, and then it's problem solved. So it with playing through the parts so many times myself, I think that I get through a lot of those issues before another human being ever sees it.
Each of us has our own path, and sometimes it takes a little longer to find that path. But if you are patient, dedicated, and passionate, things always have a way of working out in the end. I knew a long time ago that I would never be a professional orchestral harpist. I've only taken a few professional job auditions in my life, and each time I came out feeling like garbage. It might not be my path, but I see you, you harp warriors out there slogging to each audition, hoping it will be your last. Hang in there, follow your dreams, and know that we're all rooting for you. I hope that you'll hear this final segment and take heart in knowing that you are not the first, nor will you be the last to walk your path. You know, I think it's amazing that you're in your seventh year at Lyric. That was obviously the job that you were meant to get. It's funny, when I was growing up, my high school teacher always told me that the job that you're supposed to get, it comes to you at the right time in your life. And then everything just kind of falls into place. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there right now that are looking for jobs and are struggling because it's hard. You know that it's hard. How long did you look before you found your dream job?
So after graduating from Roosevelt, studying with Sarah Bullen, there were 10 years between graduation and getting my job. During that time, I freelanced in Chicago. I was a member of the Civic Orchestra. I was a member of the New World Symphony. I played a one-year contract with the Chicago Symphony, had a few more years of freelancing, and then won my job. Of course, on top of all of that, there were auditions going on, and I would take any audition that was a job where I could move to that city and start, you know, establishing something, even if it was a small orchestra. Luckily, during that time, there were a number of really great jobs that came up, And that was my prize. That was my eye on the prize. I'm going to dedicate myself to these auditions. And I did the best to my ability to prepare for those auditions. And none of them worked out, obviously, because I didn't have a job until Lyric. I was the runner-up over and over again, which was devastating. Because, of course, I wanted all of those jobs. I was runner-up in San Diego and in Toronto and in the National Symphony. And it was hard. I mean, the audition process is incredibly emotional for the person. You're bearing your soul to be judged, and you're basically told you're not good enough. You know, this is horrible to your psyche. And I learned a long time ago that I could either let it cut me down, or I could use that to build myself up and learn and grow for the next opportunity. And by being somewhat successful in auditions, getting out of the prelims, out of the semis, getting that "you just missed the job" title helped me think, well, I must be doing something right. And I just need to do it over and over again until it is my time. And something that I tell my students is, if you can think of something else to do with your life that you'd be happy doing, consider pursuing that. If an orchestra job is the only thing that you could do in your life, you cannot live without it, then go for it. And just keep at it as long as it takes. And like I said, it was 10 years of auditioning, but this is my job. This is where I should be, and I am incredibly happy.
That's it for our 30th episode. Many thanks to Lynn Williams for joining us today. To learn more about Lynn, please visit her website at mlwharp.com or chicagoharpquartet.com, or visit the Lyric Opera's website to view the performance schedule to see when Lynn is playing. Music for today's episode comes as a special treat and a double whammy of awesome. First, the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2, and second, Spanish Dance No. 1 from La Vida Breve by Manuel de Falla, arranged by Lynn Williams. Lynn was kind enough to send us a few sneak peek recordings of the upcoming Chicago Harp Quartet CD titled Dance Sketches, to be released in March 2018. Can't wait to hear the full recordings of these pieces? Well, head over to harpcolumnmusic.com to find both arrangements by the one and only Lynn Williams available for purchase. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week. Thank you.